So as we begin this morning, as we look at Luke 8 again, please feel free to have that open if you have it in front of you. Just a question as we begin. I wonder how many sermons you've heard in this building. I tried to do a calculation of me. I've been at this church for around 10 or so years. It's flown by. Twice a week on average, maybe, I've heard sermons here, not even counting Wednesdays. I was going to look for Bradley here to work it out, but he's not here. I think he's in the back. I did a calculation, and I've heard 1,040 sermons in this building since being a Christian. If it's a competition, I'm seeing Frieda in the back there. I'm sure Frieda's probably heard the most. I won't even try and work out how many Frieda has heard. But the point is, many of us here, we've heard a lot of sermons, I'm sure. Maybe some are here for the first time, and that's great. But many here have heard a lot, which should lead us to a more important question than how many. How have you heard those sermons? What have you done with it? How have you responded to them? Has it had any effect in your life? As we will see in this sermon, that's such a crucial question because it will actually discern whether or not you're a Christian. Whether or not you're a Christian will depend on how you've heard the word of God. It's a salvation question. And it's at the very heart of what Jesus is saying here in Luke 8, which we've been reading earlier. Did you notice verse 1 of chapter 8 of Luke? Jesus has just gone around preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. He's just preached God's word. And then there is a large crowd that gathers. And what does he say to them? Verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now just imagine you're in that crowd for a minute and you heard that. No explanation given. What would you think? Some people may have thought Jesus has just given farming advice on how to grow crops. Episode of Gardener's World, one of my mum's favourite things on TV. Is it just one of those? He's just saying what happens when you scatter seed? That's all they would have thought. There was no explanation given. What's he doing? Well, it's a parable, as we've been told in verse 4. And a parable is saying, through those words I've just said, there are deep truths in there that is being shared about God, about us, about our soul, about heaven, about eternity, all in that parable that we've just heard. And the thing with parables is it was only for some. It's concealing the truth from some because all they heard was a farming story. They left thinking, what was that all about? For others, it's revealing truth. Who's it revealing it to? Well, verse 9. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said. So for those who are hungry, for those who want to know, they're let in. They're let in on the secret. That's encouraging for us this morning. If you're sitting there with a hungry heart, you want to know God, you want to know Christ, you really do, Jesus says, I'll tell you. Just have to ask. Parables are interesting things. They're doing two things at the same time. Parables. Now, Jesus explains it to them from verses 10 to 15. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And it's going to be very simple, three parts to this message. And it all begins with S. It was all done for me, this sermon structure. We're going to look at the seed, the sower, the soil. Seed, sower, soil. That's what we're going to do this morning. Very simple. But just before we begin, I think I said this in the prayer that I was praying earlier. This is very familiar, this passage. Maybe it's one of the most familiar parts of the Bible. Please let us take Jesus' words in verse 8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Don't approach it with, oh, I know this. There's something here for you this morning. I really do believe that. That there is a word for you through this parable that we need in our hearts this morning. So let us listen with attentiveness, even if this is very familiar to you. So let's begin with the first point, which is the seed. And Jesus in verse 11 says exactly what the seed is. The seed is the word of God. So that means this book, that we preach here week after week, Jesus says it's a seed. Now, why is that important? Because what do seeds do? They contain life. They have the potential to give life. And if you're sitting there thinking, I have life already, thank you very much. I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm eating. This is offering you eternal life. This book that you find boring, maybe, has seeds of eternal life. When we say eternal life, I don't know what you think. Maybe you think, I've heard people say to me, the thought of living forever is actually a nightmare. Dull, boring. I don't want to live forever. I've heard people say that. If that's what you're thinking, then you're not thinking about eternal life. This eternal life, I see it like a graph, right? You've got your x-axis, you've got your y-axis. I had to check earlier today that I got that right. Now, it's true on the x-axis, it goes on forever. This really is eternal life. It does go on forever. That's what Jesus is offering you this morning. We're talking about life beyond death. Physical life. He rose from the dead. This isn't weird spiritual floaty spirits and harps. This is real physical life. But it's also off the scale on the y-axis too. And that's important. I'm talking about enjoyable, satisfying life. Contentment, joy, peace, love. Because you're back with God. So it's not just, oh, this life times infinity. It's times infinity that way too. Think of the happiest moment you've had in life. Christians here, you've tasted a drop of eternal life at times. We have eternal life, don't we? But you've tasted it at times and you're like, wow, what was I doing living for this? This is what this book is offering you. Seeds of eternal life. Think about that. It's saying that God wants to give you life. It sounds like a simple statement at first. The seed is the word of God. It's saying God wants to give you life. Every time you're hearing preaching, God is scattering life. It's like the preacher's doing this every Sunday, scattering seeds, and it's landing in you. God wants to give you life. He wants to give you more, more. If you have it already, what does it say in verse 18? For the one who has more will be given. There's more on offer to you. You think you've tasted life? There's more. You've just tasted a drop. So that's what this is saying. That's why we preach. That's why there's people standing here preaching every week. That's why you should be in this word every day of your life. It's planting life in your soul. But it's a big book, isn't it? So you might think, what part of it? Where do I go in this book? What part is it particularly referring to? Well, verse 1, we see that Jesus is proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what's in focus. Jesus has just done it, and now he's explaining what he's just done. So we're talking about the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what gives you life. What is the gospel? It's the big message of this book. From start to finish, it's one big story. And I'm going to explain it to you this morning, and I'm going to explain later why. Because a lot of you maybe know this well, some of you maybe don't. So let's explain what the gospel is. What is the gospel? What is the message of the Bible? It is essentially this, that every single one of us in this room was made by God. Everything around you that you see and touch was made by God. You were made to know him and be like him. That's what you were made for. That's the purpose of your existence. And why are you so unsatisfied today? Because you don't know that purpose. We've been cut off from it. Why? Because Genesis chapter 3, third chapter of the Bible, we rejected the God we were made for. We went our own way. We tried to live life without him. And you could see it as God has commanded us to love, we've hated instead. He's commanded us to tell the truth, we've lied. He's commanded us to preserve life, we take life, etc., etc., etc. Sin. That's why our world's in a mess. That's why you are miserable. Sin. We're stuck under judgment now. We're separated from God. We're stuck heading for hell. That's the gospel. Religion can't help you. You can't be good enough. You're a sinner. But it's good news, remember. It says the good news of the kingdom of God. What's good then? Well, God loves the world. He so loves the world that he comes into this world, he sends his son, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, born of a virgin 2,000 years ago, and he lives the life that we should have lived. He never sins. He never did any wrong. He was the true man, and he does it in our place. Then he goes to a cross and he says, I'm going to take all of their sins and be punished instead of them because I love them. That's what he did on the cross. And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead to say, it is finished. I've defeated death. I'm victorious. And anyone who comes to me, I can offer you the same. So the gospel call is, come to me, Jesus says, and I will give you life. I will give you forgiveness, peace, with God forever. Come to me. That's the gospel. I hope there's surely some bits I haven't gone into like I should, but that's a quick summary of the gospel. Isn't that good news? John 3:16, for God so loves the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever, whatever you've done, isn't this hope for our world? Cancel culture, all of the stuff that's going on. Whoever, come, you can be forgiven, washed, restored, new life, know God. It's the best news. It is the power of God, Paul says in Romans. It changes lives. It's a seed, remember? It changed my life. My life only changed when I understood the gospel and I believed it and I followed him. I'm a different man to when I walked in here 10 years ago. And many Christians here will say the same thing. So that's the seed, the wonderful seed of God's word. Now, the second thing is the sower. That's important, isn't it? Because seed in a basket doesn't change anything. It has to be scattered. It has to land in soil. That's when it bursts forth, right? So sowers are key. People who share the word. Now, who is this sower? Jesus doesn't say. Did you notice he doesn't even explain who the sower is in this explanation he gives? Because it's anyone who shares the gospel. He does it here. He kicks it off, you could say. Then he sends his apostles in the very next chapter, chapter 9. And then from Acts onwards, the Christian church begins. It's all his people. So we're talking about, when is a seed scattered? A one-to-one conversation at the school gate. A Christian mum sharing what God did in her life and how this person can find it too. Sunday school, seeds are being scattered there. Every Sunday here in this place, right now, a seed has just been scattered. That's why I explain the gospel. Because every person now has technically just received the seed. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? A privilege. First of all, that we get to be sowers, Christians. We just went on the high street yesterday in the name of Jesus. I'm a wretched man, and he wants to use me to scatter this life-giving seed. And someone like me can have an impact on someone's eternity because I simply scattered a seed. Yes, it's God who does the work, but he used my scattering. It's an amazing thing. But then also, as soils, just imagine all of us here as soils, because we are going to get onto the soils. You are receiving life-giving seed every week. God keeps bringing you here week after week. Think about the privilege of that. Across the world, there are unreached people who don't get this. They would love this. They would love to hear the Bible explained, and it's banned. There's no one going. Even in the UK, how many people around us in our country know the first thing about the Bible now? When I do evangelism, the first thing that stands out to me is they don't know the first thing now. It's like we've got unreached people in our own country. And here we are, week after week, getting seed after seed after seed. Clear preaching, powerful preaching. Do you see the privilege? We are so privileged. Until my 20s, I lived without a clear explanation of the gospel. I wish I heard it earlier so that the mess of my life wouldn't have maybe happened. I made a train wreck of so many things because I didn't hear the gospel clearly. We do. You do. What a privilege. But it's not called, I'm going to argue it shouldn't be called the parable of the sower. And I'm sure you've heard this before. It should be called the parable of the soils because the sower's not really in view here. Jesus spends the whole verse 12 to 15 explaining soils. So let's move on to point three, the soil. What is the soil? It's me and it's you. But what part of you particularly? It's your heart. What is the heart according to the Bible? The heart is not an organ as we define it today. In the Bible, the heart is the real you underneath everything you do. So think of everything you do in life. Everything you love, you enjoy, your hobbies, what you say, what you think. It flows from your heart, the Bible says. So the heart is the real you, the deepest part of you. That's what we're talking about here. That's the soil. And here we're learning a key thing. When you hear the gospel, it's supposed to land in your heart. Yes, it needs to go through your ear. So imagine a real seed for a minute. It has to go through your ear. By that, I mean you have to hear it. It has to go through your brain. You have to understand it. But it has to land in your heart. If you've just understood it, that's not going to do anything. It has to reach your heart. Now, that's important for us because maybe you sit and listen to sermons and you say, that was a great sermon. Oh, what a preacher. What a preacher. He spoke so well. He put things so clearly. That's not the goal of preaching. The goal of preaching is for you to be changed in your heart, not to hear a good talk. If you leave sermons also thinking, that I learned some new truths today. Great, that's good. That needs to happen. But if that's all you're getting from preaching, if you're just getting some new information, go to a lecture. Preaching is supposed to change you. It's supposed to reach your heart. It's supposed to, you're supposed to respond with your heart, the whole of me. And what is the response required? Faith and repentance. Faith, not just I believe that it's true in my head, but I trust him with my heart. So it's like, you've heard this before, this illustration. I'm looking at this chair and I say, I believe this chair is going to support me. That's not true faith according to the Bible. That's part of it. But it's only when I sit on it that I'm entrusting my life into the chair's hands. That's what we're supposed to do with Jesus. I'm not just saying, I believe Jesus died for sinners. No, he died for me. And I'm entrusting my life in his hands. That's faith. Have you responded like that to the gospel? Repentance, though, as well. Repentance. Not just, I know sin is wrong and I shouldn't do that. No, Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned against you. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm coming to you. That's repentance, heart repentance. That is what is required of you when you hear God's words. And Jesus says not everyone responds like that. There are four soils, four heart responses to the gospel. And we will all in this room be one of them. Guaranteed. Because you've all, as long as you've heard me this morning and understood vaguely what I've been talking about, you will be one of these soils. Guaranteed. Because we've all heard. Do you notice Jesus repeats that? So verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear. Verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. Verse 15, as for that good soil, they are those who hear in the word. We've all heard. We're all one of these soils. That's the point. The emphasis is on hearing. How have you heard? Well, let's see. The first soil then, the first heart response to the gospel, Jesus says, is the path. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. Remember, so let's picture it in reality, a seed lands on this rock-hard ground in the sun, and it just lies on top, and people trample on it. How does that look in terms of hearts? Because we've been talking about human hearts. What does this really look like? What's Jesus saying about the path soil? So imagine someone comes into this church. Let's try and imagine it. So they sit there, right? I'm not choosing there for any particular reason, but they sit there, and this would look like someone who comes in, they sit, they hear the gospel explained, they understand it, the seed lands, but no heart response whatsoever. Their heart is unmoved by what they just heard. We're talking about someone who hears about God, eternity, sin, the need to be forgiven, God's love, his forgiveness, and they say, I'm fine. I'm fine, thank you very much. That's great for you. That's good for you. There's nothing. And what's worse here is the seed is trampled on. I think that's saying that that's what this person is doing. They're trampling on the seed of God's word that he has carefully placed in their heart. It's a sobering beginning to this soils. And what happens to this seed? Well, it just sits on top. It's easy pickings for anyone that wants to take it. And there is birds that snatch the seed. Now, who is the bird? Satan. So let's think about this for a minute. Satan is actively at work every time the gospel is preached. He's actively at work this morning. And who's he going to go for? Is he going to go for the one that's lodged in the soil? Or is he going to particularly grab the one who's sitting on top? It's like candy from a baby. I'll take that seed. I'll take that seed. I'll take that seed. Now, why is he doing that? Because he knows that this seed can give you eternal life. And he doesn't want you to have it. He wants to destroy you. Jesus wants to give you life. Satan wants to destroy you, so he's going to take that seed from you. It's as though you never heard it. That's the shocking thing here. The seed's been taken away. You are like those unreached tribes in the other parts of the world who's never heard the gospel. But you're worse off because every seed you've received that has been snatched is adding further judgment to you. Have you ever thought about that? If you come to church every Sunday and you're not a Christian, what you're doing is stacking up more judgment for yourself. Every time you come, just imagine Judgment Day and God saying something like this. I brought you to APC every Sunday and told you how you can be saved and you didn't listen and you didn't listen. Further judgment, you're worse off. It's a sobering thought, this first soil. And what kind of person do you think of when you picture this person? A drug dealer? Apostle Paul, before he was saved and he's killing Christians? Maybe an Islamic terrorist, I would say it could be a nice granny. I'm all right, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing it with me, though, but I'm all right. That's this person. They're nice people. It's not necessarily shockingly bad people. I would say, actually, this kind of person is more likely to be religious and good. That's why they're rejecting it. I'm fine, thank you. I'm good. This is someone from a Christian home. Maybe. I'm struck by John Kasem's testimony. I haven't asked him if I can share this, but John Kasem, when he shared his testimony at Friday Nighters, he said he grew up in the church and heard sermons all the time as a teenager, and he said he could recite the gospel just like that, but he never recalls once his heart ever being moved by the gospel for years until he actually was saved. I hope I got that right. Is that correct? Yeah. That struck me that that's a scary thought that someone could be in that position, and that's exactly what this says. Thankfully, someone like that can be saved. John Kasem is proof. Now, is this you? Before we go on, is this you? Please take care. Jesus' point in all of this is verse 18. Take care then how you hear. He wants you to take care. He doesn't want you to brush this aside. Is it you? Okay, second soil is the rocky ground. I'll read it, verse 6. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. So imagine again a seed landing. This time it enters a little bit, and it shoots up, and it looks great. Wow, life bursts forth. How would that look in reality? Imagine someone comes in again. They sit this side, they sit over there, and they hear the same message that this person just heard that I've described to you. And they believe it. And they're so moved and affected, they're shouting, amen, amen. Okay, maybe not because this is APC, so that might not have happened. But maybe they're weeping. Maybe they're so joyful. I'm forgiven. They believe it. And their life changes. They're baptized. They preach. They join the church membership. And then trials suddenly come. Things suddenly start to get hard in their life. They lose their friends, maybe, for Jesus. They lose their job. Maybe things don't quite work out as they planned. They always wanted to be married. God didn't bless them with a husband or wife. Why not, Lord? Cancer might have come. I don't know what it is. But things came into their life, and they fall away as quickly as they believed. They're gone. We never see them again in this church. That's this soil. Why did that happen? Jesus says it's because it was shallow. The seed only landed kind of just in. It didn't go deep. The word didn't touch all areas of their life. There was still a hardness underneath. What's that talking about? Well, imagine it maybe as like surface level love. I will love Jesus. I will love you as long as you do this for me. Maybe it could look like that. Or maybe surface level obedience. I will follow you in this, Jesus. Yep, but not that. I'm not going to do that or that or that. I disagree with you on that one. Or maybe surface level repentance. So I'm going to turn from that sin. Yep, that one's easy. I used to gamble. Yep, I'll give up on gambling, but not that. I'm not giving that up. I love that too much. Maybe that's how it might look in reality. It could be someone who sees Jesus as Saviour. I'll take you as Saviour. You've forgiven me. Thank you. But not Lord. So they might struggle with the question that we're going to hear tonight at baptism. What's the question that Gerard asks? Will you follow Jesus in all that he commands you? I think it's something along those lines. They would struggle with that question. They would say, nah, not everything. Not everything. There's conditions. And what happens to them? Well, trials come. And because they haven't fully given their heart to Jesus, because they're not all in, why are they going to keep following him when things get hard? Why would they keep following him if it means persecution? They're just going to turn to the next thing because they haven't given themselves to him. Do you see how it works? And only one outcome, Jesus says. They fall away, verse 13. In a time of testing, fall away. Now, let's be frank about what he's saying there. What do you think of when you hear those words, fall away? We're talking about the fact that this person doesn't end up saved. If they end in this condition, they end up in hell. This parable is more sobering than we think. Is this you? I urge you this morning, consider, take care, Jesus says, how you hear God's word. Third soil is the thorny ground. Now let's picture this. This one lands deeper and the growth is more steady. It's not shooting up like the other one. And there's now these thorns popping up either side. So how would that look in reality? Well, now let's imagine someone else comes in and they maybe sit here, right at the front. And they hear the same sermon as the other two did. It lands well. They believe, and it seems more steady. It's not such a burst, maybe. A little bit more steady. But Jesus says, as they go on their way, verse 14. So as life continues, gradually, 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 it's a little bit more slower. Things start to change, and things don't quite look right. They just about make it on Sunday. Over time. And even when they're here, they never seem quite engaged. When you speak to them about the Lord, they're always kind of like, yeah, but they want to talk about other things. Or maybe they say, I really want to pray and read my Bible, but it just never seems to happen. I'm either too busy. It just seems like their heart isn't in it anymore. That's the sense you get when you meet them. What happened? Jesus says thorns. Their heart became crowded. And there's only what you can only give so much of your attention to something if it's crowded with other things. So what are the examples he gives? Cares. We're talking about someone who is preoccupied and worried about the things of this life alone. They haven't got time to think about heaven or Jesus because they're so preoccupied with career, family. I don't know what it is. It could be good things. It could be bad things. Riches, stuff, money. I want a certain level of life, so I'm going to attain it and I'm going to work longer, whatever it takes. I want to reach this rich level. Maybe it's that. Or pleasures. Bad, could be bad things. Can I say something like porn? Porn will suck the life out of a Christian. If a Christian is regularly struggling with something like porn, this is one thing I could say, as many things, but it will suck the life. I'm sure people know this in experience. You can't be all out as a Christian and be continually struggling with things. When I say struggling, that's probably not the right word. Continually trapped in something. It is going to affect the growth of the gospel in you. It could be good things. It could be family. It could be a spouse. I don't know what it is, but pleasures have taken over. And then when it comes to Christ, I want this. This is much more exciting. Do you see what this is teaching? It's saying many things can live in our heart normally in the world. People can give themselves to this, this, this. When it comes to the gospel seed, Jesus Christ, he demands all of your heart. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy things and love things and have a good life. It's not saying that. But it's saying, what am I giving myself to first? Who's number one? It has to be one or the other, because Jesus is saying the thorn, if it stays and competes with Christ, only one thing will happen. The thorn will choke out the seed. You must choke one or the other, the seed or the thorn. And the result of all of this, again, this person believed, but they didn't end up saved if that was their end condition. It's sobering stuff here. And we must pause here for a minute, because I believe one of the 12 that was listening then was that third soil, Judas. What led Judas away? What led him to betray Christ? I think we're given some clues. He took money out of the money bag. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Isn't that giving you a clue of what was going on in his heart? Could it be that he was the third soil? That the thorn of riches choked out the seed in the end? Could it be? It's a sobering thought to think that Judas listened to this teaching. And I think if you approached him that day and said, Judas, what soil are you? I think he would have said on that day, the fourth soil, obviously, the good soil. I believe, I'm following Christ. So it's a sobering thing to think that you might say you're this, but this says, what are you? It searches us. I believe that someone in one of these camps, particularly soil 2 and 3, maybe might even go to their grave, possibly thinking they're a believer. Jesus says there'll be people who say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not do that? And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. So we have to seriously examine, which one am I? Do we see any signs of these first three soils in our lives? It doesn't mean that we're not saved, as we're going to go on to see, but it just means I need to take care. Jesus wants us to take care. So let's move on. This has been a bit depressing and hard so far. I admit that. But let's move on finally to the fourth soil, the good soil. Picture this seed now. This seed lands, it goes deep, it grows steady. There's no thorns that eventually choke it out. There's no rocks, and it yields 100-fold. That is a miraculous growth. Apparently, farmers would not have expected such a growth in that time, or it would have been very rare. So we're talking about a miracle here. What was the difference with them? Well, let's imagine someone comes in, they sit here now. They hear the same sermon as the other three. But what was the difference with them? Jesus says, number one, they held fast. They are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast. Imagine that for a minute. It's like they do this with their heart. They catch the seed. Wow, this is the best thing I've ever heard. God gave his life for me. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me and rose from the dead for me. I have eternal. What? Get rid of everything else. I'm holding on to this. And it's like, how can Satan get that seed? They're holding it. It's not like the first soil. It's not like the third soil, because they're saying, these thorns, they're thorns. I'm holding on to this seed. I'm taking it deep. I'm not going to be like the second soil. I'm taking it deep into the whole of me. I'm giving myself for him. I'm living for him. They hold fast and not like the others. Also, he says, an honest and good heart. That's interesting. Hold it fast in an honest and good heart. Honest in the sense of, I'm going to honestly face the word of God. I'm going to honestly own up to my sins. And I'm going to be real with God. I'm not going to pretend. But good as well. I don't want to sin anymore. We're not talking about perfection here, Christian sin. But we're talking about the heart has changed. My new direction is, oh, I don't want to do that evil. I fall into it sometimes. But, oh, I want to do good. I want to live good. I want to do good. I want to love people because I've been loved by Christ. And they bear fruit. Isn't that the difference between all of them? They bear fruit. There's actual evidence that this person knows Christ. They're not just doing deeds, but there's fruit. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. You see it. They start to look like Christ. And they bear fruit with patience, Jesus says. They will go through anything for Christ. They're not going to be like the second soil that drops off at the first challenge. They're going to hold on. And it's a hundredfold, a miracle. What we're talking about here is God changing someone's heart. From hard to soft, from evil to good, from deceitful to honest. A miracle. So if that's you this morning, praise God. Even if you just see a glimmer. I'm very aware that this kind of passage might shake some people that don't need to be shaked. I was worried about that, actually. So I'm trusting God to do the work here. But if you see just glimmers of this, thank God. Be joyful that he's done a work in you. If you see a glimmer of a desire to turn from sin and follow Christ, you see little glimmers of life, thank God. Don't let yourself be shaken. But for some of us, we do need to be challenged by this parable. I think God will do different things with this same word this morning. But it's why we've been asking, which one are you? Which one are you? We are guaranteed to be one of these soils, one of them. And as we examine, I think there's one purpose in all of this. Did you spot verse 8? How he ends the whole thing originally? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then verse 18, he starts speaking about lighting and covering a lamp. Then he says, verse 18, take care then how you hear. Do you see the link? He's saying, listen up this morning. Take care how you hear, how you've responded to God's word. Surely that's the secret of the soil, of the fourth good soil. They took care. They held fast to God's word. So rocky hearts or rock-hard hearts among us, path hearts, the first soil. You might have trampled on God's word up until now. He's brought you here again. He wants you to hear it again. Will you trample on him again? Rocky hearts, the second soil. Won't you take it deeper? Won't you let God's word enter all of you? Won't you let him challenge those things that you've held to all your life? Won't you let him challenge that sin that you refuse to let go of? Won't you stop putting conditions on following him? Won't you see he's worth facing anything for and losing anything for? Thorny hearts among us, whatever it is, cares, money, pleasure, it's not worth it. It will only let you down. Weigh up what you're holding on to with the life-giving seed that's being presented to you, and it's a no-brainer. And good soils among us, this speaks to us too, Christians here. Remember, this is said to disciples. Verse 16 to 18 is continuing speaking to disciples. We must take care too. I'm sure as we went through those three soils, you see evidence in you of maybe all of them. There's a hardness sometimes, there's thorns. I was preparing and I think, I've got thorns. Jesus is saying, take care, take care. Keep holding fast, keep being honest. Choke the thorns before they choke the seed. I think the call this morning is very simple. Take care how you respond to God's word. Pay attention. Count Jesus as more precious and important than anything else. And how could we not, when we consider this wonderful seed, and we consider all the factors that are working against me, and this bird that's flying around trying to take it, won't I take care? When I consider what's at stake for those who fall away, hell, won't I take care? Jesus has spoken to us today. If you've heard his voice, do not harden your heart. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart.